Now we'll take a look at certain important screening practices. This diagram here enlists those, and of course we will have a detailed discussion in the following slides. So these relate to the appearance, the organization of the resumes, the objective, the educational qualifications, the experiences listed thereupon, and the related activities. So let's discuss each of these as we move along. So screening for best candidates is one of the biggest challenges for hiring teams. I'm sure the people who are responsible for hiring in their respective organizations and the ones who are watching this recording currently may agree with me. Many rely only on instincts as they do not have a guide to help them identify the most suitable candidates. So in the lack of a structured plan, I may say so, people rely on an intuitive or an instinctual approach. But here in this chapter, we will gain value of how to follow a scientific and a systematic approach. Okay, so as mentioned earlier, this could be problematic as the best talents may be overlooked and missed out. Now it's a question, it's a game of evaluation, remember. So the decision that you take based on the choices available is of paramount importance. And along with intuition, if you are able to combine a system or a thorough analysis, you would not miss out on such, you know, talented individuals. So not knowing the indicators that prove an applicant is fit for a job makes identifying the suitable ones pretty challenging. So let's look at some of the indicators. The first being the appearance. Okay, now this is not the appearance of the candidate, I may say. It is the appearance of the information, the way it is presented on their resumes. So the reviewer should also question whether the resume is complete. Complete meaning it gives all details, leaving no room for any sort of ambiguity. It should be neatly written. Of course, in today's times, by written, we indicate typed. Legibility, of course. Now, since typed resumes are there, majority of the times legibility is there. So you might want to check the tense usage, the grammatical aspects, as well as the spacing and the formatting. So that becomes more relevant in today's day and age. Also, the organization, the way the information is organized on that resume. So while screening the profile, reviewers also need to consider if the organization of the resumes is done in a proper and a logical fashion. So there is no flaw if they are following a chronological manner, they don't mix it up. If they are following a functional method, most of it is done in that format. The next part is the objective. So generally in the resume, applicants will include an objective which is acceptable. Many do so. Many applicants, as stated here, may not include it as well. The reviewer should see if there's a match between that objective and position. Many a times, every applicant tries to use a blanket statement or, you know, an overall objective. It shows that they have not taken time to review the needs of the organization. Education is the next category. Here in this category, this is one of the most straightforward or the simplest to evaluate. The evaluator should make sure to check the applicant's course of study, the institutions that they have passed out from, the percentages that they've gained, any extracurricular information added thereupon. Experience is another important factor while considering screening and should be a part of the screening practices. So an applicant's work history and experience is the most critical information for most organizations. Like mentioned previously, if there is a sales manager required, you will not simply take them on the basis of their education. What is more important is their relevant experience. Have they conducted those sales practices? Have they led teams? Have they led territories? Have they been able to successfully meet the sales targets? Have they been, as a leader, able to motivate people under them? Are all things which matter for such a profile. So generally, the best predictor of future job performances is looking at the recent position held by the applicant. So when you're speculating the performance of an aspirant, this is a yardstick for you to understand. Yeah. So their historical information, what sort of achievements have they had in this position, and of course, the checks, the referral checks, would be something really important. The next important aspect to be checked as a part of the screening practices is the related activities. So while listed activities such as hobbies and personal interests may not be directly related to the applicant's ability to perform the job, it may provide precious insights into the candidate's potential for future responsibilities. For example, we could understand the elements of compassion, empathy, people management, people relatedness, involvement, if the person has been into extracurriculars, has been, you know, a part of elocution competitions, debates, has represented the organization in conferences and seminars, has been a part of exhibitions, has also been a part of the CSR endeavors of the organization. Such people are natural leaders and they take interest which is over and above their management competencies. So these things also we need to look into. Now let us take a look at the screening criteria. The information contained in the position description and the vacancy announcement may serve as the basis for preparation of objective screening tool. Now, what is an objective screening tool? So an objective screening tool is a tool which will help you in creating a certain sense of logic, a certain sense of systematicness in the screening that will happen. And you will not only rely on the instinct or intuition. Thus, this eliminates from consideration those applicants who do not meet the required minimum qualifications, and you are free to, without any guilt, you are free to, you know, eliminate them without being subjective. So there is a pure objective aspect that can be used. This basically assigns a point value similar to the percentage that we had discussed in an earlier slide to those who meet or exceed the minimum qualifications by assigning a numerical value to each of the identified criteria, measuring certain important elements like knowledge, skills, and experience relating or resulting in the most suitable candidates. So probably you could use a 10-point scale, where 1 being the least and 10 being the highest. So those who meet your screening practices extensively, or they're most relevant in these particular parameters, can get a higher point rating on that scale, resulting in them being stacked into the more than exceeds or the exceeds the criteria qualification. Reviewers need to design and utilize a rating method in which points are assigned. So this is basically what we have just stated. And of course, these points, okay, so education, experience, and skills would be rated very high. Analysis of applications and resumes is the next point of discussion. So analysis of an application or a resume and a resume, as we have discussed, will give us three important insights. They will show us three important things. The information at the face value that will be used to determine if the applicants meet the minimum education, experience, and skill requirement. So for example, let's say a recently passed engineer, computer engineer, goes to Infosys, a reputed organization. The recruitment professional, if they have a need for a specific technology which this aspirant has knowledge of, they will first check information at the face value related to their education. So if it's a bachelor in engineering, passing out of a reputed organization in distinction, getting an 78%. So this will be ticked. Experience. So they don't need current experience as an intern, 1 year of experience while on the job. So that experience is again ticked. And skill requirements. So they have worked on Java, C++, AWS and Python in the past internship of that 1 year. So everything gets ticked. So this is information at the face value. This is face value meaning it is shown in print. It is demonstrated or published by that aspirant. The next is the skills that the applicant used in presenting. So have they formatted the resume well? Have they stated a specific objective? Have they been able to demonstrate important aspects or highlight important aspects of their resume in fine print? And third, the way the applicant thinks as revealed by the answers given in the application. So as we've understood what is an application, so there will be certain pertinent questions which the aspirant is asked and the way they've answered, correct? So for example, they might be asked, okay, what would you prefer, agility or patience? If given two choices, a choice between intelligence and wisdom, what would you take? Would you look at tradition or technology, which would you prefer? So these sort of things they might be asked and the way they think. So these may be elements to scrutiny. So while considering the screening criteria, the professional recruiters, the seasoned ones, they always have a view that the way people present themselves in an application or a resume is only one factor to consider when making the hiring decision. So sometimes you have to look beyond the resume also. At times, a gifted or a talented individual may not be able to represent them properly. So if you are not looking at any red flags, if everything is fine, but yet the best foot has not been placed forward, you might want to give some leeway to such kind of resumes as well. So a resume that deviates from the acceptable format may at times not be the reason for excluding an applicant from the selection process. So sometimes we have to also use our instinct or our intuition. Sometimes you may feel that, oh yes, this is the man or the lady for the job. You might want to get into an additional screening, that is a phone screening, and may not want to discard the resume at this point in time. Now, these are some important points of consideration while you are, doing the screening process or you are evaluating or reviewing those applications and or resumes. The first is the appearance of the application or resume. Again, there has to be some more detail added, some more intuition at times, like we have mentioned. Now, this is what is subject to objective information, like blanks or missing information. So if you see too many blanks, if you see a lack of coherence or a connect in the information that has been presented, this might, raise a red flag, or this might raise a word of caution in your mind. Overlaps in the dates. Now, if you see, chronological errors, like let's say overlaps in dates basically mean, let's suppose January 2015 to August of 2018, the person was in ABC organization, and from July of 2018 to current date, he is in some organization. So if you see, there is an overlap. So August of 2018, a job should have ended and then they should have started, for example, in September or October. But if you see, they were in the most previous job from July. So how is that possible? Yeah, so overlaps in the dates. So this is like they've made up those particular dates. Frequency of job changes. Now, in a previous organization, one of the organizations that I spent 2 years consulting and training, I came across a lady from the human resources, and I got connected with the lady. I wouldn't name the organization or the individual, but in her case, for the last 5 years that she was She functioned as a professional. She had changed 8 jobs. Can you imagine? And that was featured on LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, it was like, this was year 2017, her first job for the last 5 or 6 years. From 2017, in the month of June, she got on her first job, and she changed her job in the month of, December, the same year. Then from that job, the next job lasted for about 3 months and so on. So in a span of about 5 to 6 years, this lady seemed to have changed almost 7 jobs. Now, who would like a person to be in their organization? So you train the person, you get comfortable with the person, and suddenly you realize they put their papers down or they've absconded. So such people should not be inducted into our system or environment. So if there are huge variances in the salary requirements or needs, then again, you might want to consider this person as eliminated. So if your job has a budget of about, say, 13 to 15 lakhs per annum, and their requirements are about 20 lakhs, which are not fitting into your bracket, then you need to let go of such people. Job duties, so if there's a variance between the job description and their cited job duties, again, it is a point of review. Educational background, so if the educational background falls short, or if they are too qualified, they're overqualified for the job that you're offering, you might want to review that critically. And of course, red flag items. So red flag items would again be overlaps in the dates, blanks, they've been on a sabbatical for way too long. They've failed to identify why that gap was there. So all these elements have to be, points of review that will provide you with more clarity. So when you're screening, such individuals who lack clarity will not be a part of the eventual screening process or the interviewing process. Now, of course, those candidates who, are done with their application screening or their resume screening might also be subjected to a quick round of phone screening. All right. So before calling them for the interview, since interviewing is a cumbersome process, and if you have a lot of people who meet the needs, it would also be, prudent to take them for a round of phone screening. Correct. So this comes after, this follows the application screening or the resume screening process and before the formal final interviews. So before they are a part, okay, they join in person or online, you might want to skim through their profile or ask them a few interesting questions in the phone screening. So those people who may not, seem as they were on the resume, those people will get screened in this particular round. So this is a priming interview, you may say, or an initial interview used by the telephonic medium. Now, of course, post-pandemic, this has also progressed. This has also transcended into the form of interview, which is based on MS Teams or on Zoom or Cisco or Google Meets, where you can, rather than just a telephone call, you can also have an audio visual where you can see them as well. And this can be used as a part of merit-based ranking or scoring. So you might want to score those people and interview in that particular priority order. Now, since this is a mini interview, the format could be arranged as follows. So this is not, an exhaustive format, but these points, they form some type of a guidance to you. So a few introductory words on the purpose of the screening. So you might want to inform them about the general purpose as to why you've called them. So, a few introductory lines, a brief overview of the position in non-specific or generic terms. So you might want to give them a broad overarching view of what is, the job all about. Certain knockout questions. Now, this is a very interesting term. So this term is more related to a boxing ring, okay, but can also be used in this context of ours. So what are these? So knockout questions are those questions which actually help us understand if the applicant possesses the actual requirements. So you might want to check with them about a very few specific points related to, you know, the experience that they have. So if they've cited something, you might want to check with them or probe them. And if the probe fails, then probably they can be knocked out. Huh? Likes or dislikes in the past position and the next position. So what are certain points that they liked? Certain characteristics of the job, certain attributes of the job, certain requirements of the past job, and what are the aspirations? What are, you know, what are they looking forward to in the next position that you might offer them? You might also want to check quickly about the minimum salary requirements so that you are able to gauge and understand about what their needs are and if you are able to match or fit those properly. And of course, the date available for employment. So how soon can they join? Can they join in a month's time? Are they serving a notice period? Are they currently, you know, working someplace or are they consulting? So these kind of things can also be party to the discussions that happen on the phone screening. Thank you.